they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
This, of course, is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's one of those readings that you dread to get as a reader, isn't it? With all those complicated names. I think we need a round of applause for Judy for getting through that so well. Let's just pray as we sit. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Word of God, and that you are the Word of God, and that we have the Word of God available to us to read and learn more about you and about ourselves and your Word. And as we look at it today, we ask that you would maybe challenge us anew or encourage us if that's what you want. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would make it live for us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you could open your Bible at page 1093, it would be good as we go through this familiar passage to see where I'm getting stuff that we're reading. But hasn't it been great to celebrate 70 years of our Queen's reign, our longest serving monarch? And her Christian faith has been such a great, and is such a great example to all of us. And it's good that it's been an anchor for her throughout the 70 years of her reign. But you know, there's a monarch who's reigned much longer than our Queen, and he will reign forever, and that is King Jesus. And today we're going to see how King Jesus established his church. And so first we're going to look at the birth of the church, and then secondly we'll explore its purpose as described in the reading that we've had today. So by way of introduction, we're 10 days after Jesus' ascension to heaven, and the believers, as we see in verse 1 of chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, they met together in the same place. And Pentecost, as you know, is a Jewish festival celebrated 7 weeks after Passover, and it's called Pentecost in Greek because it's a period of 50 days. And in chapter 1, verse 15, we read, "In those days Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. So we're not just talking about the 12 disciples, but we're talking about 120 believers that included men and women. So 10 days since King Jesus made the promise in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 1. On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." Now, we can rightly get excited about the Queen's Jubilee, but whatever happens, it's nothing compared to what happened to these believers. Look at verses 2 to 4 in chapter 2. Just imagine this. So they were met together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came down to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What an amazing thing to happen. He came on them individually and as a whole body of people. His power then literally blasted them out of that room onto the streets, proclaiming the good news of salvation. So, first of all, let's look at how this birth of the church came about. And it's the birth not just of the church in a building, it's the birth of a family, of a community that's about mission. It's about going out into the world and through the Spirit of the person of Jesus, God himself living in among believers. And so he remains present in this world, in us. And it's at this point that what's been Israel's single language of Aramaic breaks cultural boundaries, and the gospel breaks into all sorts of different language. And Luke records this three times in these verses. In verse 6, each one heard them speaking in his own tongue. Verse 8, each of us hears them in his own native language. And verse 11, we hear them in our own tongues. So it was a really significant change, a significant move of God amongst his people. Now, a birth is usually exciting, isn't it? But they're not always straightforward. My daughter Susanna's sister-in-law and husband Chris were struggling to conceive, so they went through all the IVF business, and they were really excited and thrilled to have their baby daughter Ada. And then they were really surprised when they fell pregnant again, but naturally without the help of IVF. And not only did they have one child, they had two boys, Eric and Albert. Okay. And she made not only the local news but national news, because the twins, although they were twins, their birthdays are on different days, because one was born at 5 to midnight and the other one was born at 10 past. So that was a big sensation. And of course, when babies come, you know, presents follow, don't they, to welcome the birth of the new